Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this morning, for this last Sunday of the church year, is found in the Old Testament book of Habakkuk, reading in chapters 1 and 2. The threatening oracle which the prophet Habakkuk saw. How long, Lord, must I cry for help, but you do not listen? I call out to you, violence, but you do not save. Why do you cause me to see injustice? Why do you overlook misery? Devastation and violence confront me. There is strife and tensions rise. I will stand at my watch post and station myself on the city wall. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer he will give to my complaint. Then the Lord answered me. He said, record the vision and write it plainly on tablets so that a herald may run with it. Indeed, the vision is waiting for the appointed time. It longs for fulfillment and will not prove false. If it seems slow in coming, wait for it, because it will certainly come and will not be delayed. Look, his soul is puffed up and is not righteous within him, but the righteous one will live by his faith. This is our text. Dear people of God, Habakkuk lived in Israel about the time of Isaiah and Jeremiah. He lived after the time of Solomon and the divided kingdom, but before the Babylonian captivity. The book of Habakkuk is 3 chapters. It is mainly the prophet Habakkuk arguing with the Lord. As we heard, he begins by saying, Lord, things are so terrible in Israel. The people are just being awful. There's violence all over. They're violating the poor and the innocent. There's squalor. There's strife. People are arguing for no real reason. See, there was no outside nation attacking Israel at the time. They didn't have really a reason to be so terrible. And yet they were. And it's because they had, for the most part, forgotten the Lord. And so Habakkuk cries out and he says, do something, Lord. Now in the verses we skipped, the rest of chapter 1, the Lord talks back to Habakkuk and he says, I will send the Babylonians to come and to conquer them and to take them into captivity. To which Habakkuk then replies and says, yeah, Lord, I understand you can do that. You have every right to do that, Lord. But why the Babylonians? They're the worst. Why let them win? Why not just come and clean things up a little bit? And then the Lord responded to him and said, Habakkuk, you don't understand how awful the people are, really awful in their hearts. One of the passages that jumped out at me is Habakkuk 2, verse 13. Be sure of this. The Lord of armies has determined that the things for which the peoples of the world labor are only fuel for the fire, and that the nations tire themselves out with nothing to show for it. They needed a total renew. And then chapter 3 of Habakkuk is his prayer, which is summed up very nicely in verse 18. But I will delight in the Lord and rejoice in God who saves me. That is to say, okay, Lord, you can do whatever you want. Thy will be done. Just thank you for keeping me on your side. Now, in the middle of all that is our chapter 2, verse 4, where Habakkuk gives us the key to salvation. His soul is puffed up and is not righteous within him, but the righteous one will live by his faith. The Apostle Paul quoted that as the key to salvation in Romans 1, verse 7, and he talks about it some more in Galatians chapter 2. Our Martin Luther dedicated his whole life and ministry to this verse. This is everything Lutheran. It is the law and the gospel, heavy on the gospel. But first, the law. The puffed up soul is not righteous. Notice, it doesn't say anything about being sinful. Heaven and hell are no longer a matter of sin. Sin no longer condemns anyone. How many times have we said Jesus died to pay for all sins? Not just the sins of the good people. Not just sins of believers, not just sins of the nice. Jesus died, he paid for the sins of unbelievers. The sins of the wicked, of prisoners, of killers. For Jesus died for all sins. His holy blood washes them all away. And the world is declared not guilty of sin by the Heavenly Father. And you may then ask the question, well, if that's true, how can anybody be condemned? It sounds impossible. And it almost is. But the thing is, most people will be damned. Why? The puffed up soul is not righteous. Puffed up means proud, full of oneself. The puffed up soul is the person who refuses to bend the knee before the Lord Jesus. The puffed up soul is the one who refuses to confess his sins to the Lord. The puffed up soul is the one who refuses to see Jesus as his Savior from sin. The puffed up soul is the one who refuses to dedicate his life to the Lord Jesus and to his word. The puffed up are those who do not appreciate Jesus for what he has done, and they don't want what he has done. The Lord has never forsaken or left anyone. It's they who leave him. No one has committed a sin so grievous that it cannot be forgiven. The ironic thing is that those people who think that they have, those people who say, what I've done is so terrible, not even God can forgive me, they condemn themselves by their unbelief. They puff up their sin and their importance. It's really boastful. What I've done is so great that not even God can conquer it. They know nothing of Christ, and they refuse his redemption. But the righteous one will live by his faith. Don't live in the prison of sin. Jesus died to pay for all sin, your sin. Repent. Confess. Believe. Take your sins and throw them all on Jesus and leave them there at his cross. For you are the righteous one who will live by his faith. That is a full statement with many facets. And the first and simplest meaning of the righteous will live by his faith is that Jesus Christ, the promised one, was righteous for you. He lived a perfect life, like you were supposed to do, but haven't come close to. He did it in your place. He did it all. He was perfect, and he gives you the credit for his perfect life. Notice how much you have done in this work of salvation. You have done nothing. It's all the work of Christ. All that you do is simply grab hold of this righteousness by believing it. And that faith also is God-given by his Holy Spirit. Therefore, since you believe that Christ was righteous for you, you live forever. The righteous one will live by his faith. You have been declared righteous, holy, by the Father in heaven, and you will live in his paradise forever just by believing that Christ is your Savior. Now, knowing that, we can expand the verse's meaning to also include this life. The righteous one will live by his faith now. Because you believe that Jesus is your Savior from sin, because you know that you have, that you possess this eternal life guaranteed by His Spirit, you can now live every day by faith. To live by faith is to see things not as they look, but as they actually are. The writer to the Hebrews told us that faith is being sure of what we hope for, being convinced about things we do not see. To live by faith now is to see other people not as the selfish, awful, money-grubbing things that they are, but rather to see them as souls that desperately need a Savior. Of course they act terribly. They live without peace. They live without salvation. Of course they're going to lash out. You can't expect anything else. Have mercy on them. And look for ways to show them their Savior. See? To live by faith among believers is to see fellow believers as fellow souls that will be with you in paradise. You are sitting with fellow sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father. Treat them as such. Show them love. Help them. Look for ways to support one another. To live by faith is to look at the news of this world all as signs of our Savior's imminent return. All the war and shootings and disaster and politics and lies and backbiting, all of it is proof that we desperately need our Savior to come soon. But it is also signs. It was prophesied in the Scriptures to convince you that Christ is on the way to take us home to heaven. To live by faith in the here and now is to attend a Christian funeral with joy in your heart. Joy that that believer now gets to live in the presence and in the visible glory of Jesus Christ. The greatest Christians that I have found among you are those who have received the news of the passing of a dear brother or sister in Christ, not with tears, not even with joy, but rather with jealousy. We cry out with Habakkuk, "How long? How long, Lord, until I get to be there too?" Now, is that selfish? I don't know. But if it is, what does it matter? Because Jesus paid for that sin too. We long to see Jesus. But we will use this time and money and the things the Lord has given us to spread His kingdom until He comes. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.